To all of those who love and support this Imam, Imam Khomeini, I would like to extend my condolences to all of them, to the Iranian Supreme Leader and to the Iranian people nationally. It is also our duty on this yearly annual anniversary of the martyrdom of the former Lebanese Prime Minister Rashid Karami. I would like to express my condolences to his family and to his friends and to his supporters and to all of the Lebanese people. This is a national occasion, the anniversary of his passing away, and Rashid Karami was a very important man, a very important man in Lebanese history, the man of unity, the man of resistance, the man of Arab identity. In addition, our minds and our hearts and our vision focuses on those who were on the Gaza Aid flotilla, to our people who stood with perseverance, our people who are fighting, our people who stand solidly on their own two feet in the Gaza Strip. These people have confronted all types of sieges, all types of assaults and campaigns, all types of killing, all types of hunger. So on this occasion, I would like to salute the people of Gaza, and I'd like to salute all the people, all the Palestinian people, the great Palestinian people who are oppressed, but in spite of that, still insist on their rights in the territories of 1948. The Palestinians of 1948, we don't call them only Arabs of 1948, but the Palestinians of 1948, to our people in the West Bank and in Jerusalem, Al-Quds, and to our Palestinian people everywhere, all around the world. In addition, I would like to speak to those who participated in the Gaza Aid flotilla, the non-Palestinians who sacrificed and who showed courage. I would like to salute all of those participants, the participants of what we could call deciding freedom, participants of mission deciding freedom, to their wounded, to their martyrs. I'd like to salute their efforts, their tireless efforts, their courage. I'd like to salute their solidarity, their firm stance, their blood, their tears, their pain, and their crying out for help for the people of Gaza. It is very natural in Lebanon that I must salute first and foremost the Lebanese delegation who was on board the Gaza Aid flotilla and all of our dear Lebanese citizens one by one, those Lebanese people who participated in the Gaza Aid flotilla. They are the prophets or the messengers of the Lebanese resistance. These Lebanese participants, they are the messengers of the Lebanese will, of the Lebanese determination, the messengers of the solidarity, of the sacrifice, of martyrdom, which brought about victory in Lebanon before. And today, we must express our pride in those martyrs, and we meet here today to honor their memory, the martyrs whom God decided will be from one particular citizenship. This is no coincidence, by the way. This is God's will. God is the one who decides the martyrs amongst the people, and God chose these people from this particular citizenship, from this particular country. This has something to do with God's wisdom. In the name of all of you, I'd like to speak to the families of the martyrs of a Gaza Aid flotilla, the Turkish martyrs. I'd like to congratulate them. I'd like to express my condolences at the same time as we usually do. I congratulate them because their loved ones have gained this great honor, this great godly honor, and I express my condolences because they have lost their loved ones and their dear ones. And by saluting these families, I also would like to salute the Turkish people, the Turkish people who showed unity in support of the Gaza Aid flotilla and the martyrs of this flotilla. I'd like to salute the Turkish leadership as well, and I would also like to salute the leadership, the Turkish leadership, which was able to prove its presence and to prove its courage and to prove its wisdom in managing this conflict. My dear brothers and sisters, today we are up against a huge event, a great, huge event in the history of the conflict between our Ummah and this occupation entity which has stolen Palestine and which has attacked the people of our Ummah, which has attacked our sanctities and our territories and our region in general. We do understand what happened in this particular incident or this particular event. Allow me, in the time which we have, to distribute my speech in a number of titles, and all of these titles are related to the Gaza Aid Flotilla and the aftermath of this incident. I'd like to describe the incident, and second of all, I'd like to speak about the significant repercussions, and third, the results, and fourth, I would like to speak about what we should do and what we should continue to do after this incident. In brief, I'd like to describe what happened, because you saw what happened very clearly. There was a Gaza Aid flotilla made up of a number of ships. Some of them transported individuals, some of them transported assistance, medical assistance, food. This aid flotilla headed towards Gaza for a clear aim, which was to break the siege on Gaza. And this Gaza Aid flotilla included hundreds of people, and people who belong to different countries of different citizenships, certain Muslim religious figures and Christian religious figures and MPs and politicians and normal men and women as well. And amongst them also, and I'd like to point out that this because I want to speak about it in due course, one of the participants also included people, or some of these participants included people whose countries have diplomatic relations with Israel. And the highest number, the largest number of those people were from Turkey, of a Turkish citizenship. And Turkey, of course, does have diplomatic relations and has had these relations for a long time. It has diplomatic, security, and military and economic ties with Israel. The Gaza Aid flotilla was attacked in international waters. It was attacked in an act of piracy, a clear, covered act of privacy. A clear, uncovered act of privacy, actually. And the massacre was committed, which led to the martyrdom of nine Turkish people, as we said, in addition to tens of people who were wounded as well. And the rest of the participants were taken into Israeli custody. They were arrested and put in prison for a period of time, and the assistance, the medical food assistance, was taken, and so were the ships. And after that, and here I'd like to describe, because I want to speak about it more in the speech, after that, quite quickly actually, the rest of the participants were released after a short period of their arrest. This is the brief description of the incident which occurred, and you know very well as well what occurred, but I wanted to describe it so this could be a prelude to what I'm going to say in the speech now. Now, concerning the significance and the repercussions, this crime, which is a massacre, is yet another piece of proof, a piece of evidence about the hostile identity of this entity and this enemy. It shows the brutal identity of this entity, the identity of this which we know this entity has had ever since the beginning of its founding. This identity was founded on massacres and on crimes. This is a new piece of evidence of Israeli attacks on civilians, unarmed civilians, men and women, without any differentiation, any distinguish. This is yet another proof of state terrorism which Israel is practicing. And this proves once again that Israel does not respect any human values or any ethical values whatsoever. It also proves that Israel does not respect any international laws or international norms or international agreements or any diplomatic relations. And this also shows that Israel considers itself above the law. Everything is allowed above the law and above ethics and above all international religious norms, all international laws. Everything is allowed for the sake of the interests of Israel, for the sake of its own, for its own aspirations. This is also new proof that this enemy is acting as if it's above punishment, as if it can escape punishment, as if it can escape accountability or questioning from this world. This proves yet again that the Israelis are killing and killing continuously, whether you take up arms or you do not. The Israelis kill, whether you are unarmed or whether you are armed, and this does not matter. This is a lesson to be learned, especially for those people who say that arms are an excuse for Israel to launch wars or to launch assaults. Were these people who were on the Gaza Aid flotilla, were they armed? Did they carry arms so that these arms could be used as an excuse to attack them and to shed their blood and to throw some of their bodies into the sea? This also shows, this latest incident shows yet again that the enemy takes everyone lightly. It takes the countries lightly, it takes the international community lightly, it takes the whole world lightly and does not make any calculations for anyone, even for the countries which Israel has diplomatic relations with, even with the countries which Israel has military and security and economic agreements with. And this is a message to all of those people who speak in a certain type of logic or who look forward to the day whereby they can imagine that peace with this enemy, with this killer, or that diplomatic relations with this killer could protect their civilians or could protect their people. Another significant point is that what happened in the Mediterranean Sea with the Gaza Aid flotilla and the reactions to what occurred, this is yet another piece of evidence that the American administration still, this current administration, is still committed totally to defending Israel and to defending its crimes and its massacres and preventing its condemnation and helping it to get away without punishment and even preventing an investigation. In addition, the American administration even considers that what the enemy did was its natural right. This is what we heard from the American Vice President Joseph Biden. And here the question must be raised. The question must be raised to the friends of America and to those who depend on America and rely on America and on those who rely on changes in America's policy in the Middle East. This should prove to them, to those who depend on America, that anything can change in American politics in the Middle East except one constant point, which is Israel and Israel's interests and the security of Israel and protecting Israel and allowing Israel to commit as many massacres as it wants, even against those people who have citizenships of countries who have military alliances with the United States of America. So what happened as well concerning the significance shows and uncovers to the governments of the world who allege that they are defending human rights and protecting human rights and protecting human freedom and human dignity. Many of these countries were silent because the crime was committed by Israel. Because it was committed by Israel, they were silent. If this act was an act of resistance in one of the battlefields, if the resistance would have had done something similar, these governments would have raised their voices and spoke about defending human rights. Other countries condemned, but in a very shy way, in an insufficient way. So unfortunately, what happened shows the nature of the Arab incapability in confronting the very, very important period and the important phase we are in right now. And I don't have to comment a lot on the decisions which were made, by the Arab foreign ministers. The Arab street or the Arab population knows very well these decisions. Another significant point to make is the quick release of those who were arrested. This also is a very, very important point with a lot of significance. Why? Let me say, unfortunately, because those who were arrested were not only Arabs. Were they only Arabs, they would have held them for a longer period. Of course, the Israelis would have made calculations, yes, because they would have feared the reaction of the resistance, but they would not have feared the official stance of Arab regimes, because Israel knows that the official stance of the Arab regimes will stand incapable, even if hundreds of those Arab supporters were taken or arrested by the Israelis, because this Arab regime was incapable and is still incapable of releasing thousands of Palestinian detainees, men, women and children, in Israeli prisons. So what's new in this particular incident? In my point of view, what is new is the fact that we had hundreds of Turkish citizens. Here is the mistake which Israel made. Israel thought that when it would kill and assault and arrest and practice terrorism against the Gaza Aid flotilla, Israel believed that this would make the Turkish leadership back down and become confused and afraid and find any kind of settlement. Unfortunately, Israel is used to this because this is the way it deals with Arab governments. And I assume that the Zionist leadership was surprised by the Turkish reaction, whether it be on the level of the leadership or on the level of the Turkish people, and even on the level of the institutions and all different Turkish political parties, even the opposition parties in Turkey, which are against Recep Tayyip Erdogan. They took the stance against this. When the Turkish leadership told Israel and used its relations with Israel as leverage, of course, we don't support any Muslim country to have relations or ties. But these ties have been there even before Erdogan's party came to power. The Turkish leadership told the Israelis, if you continue to hold more Turkish, if you continue to hold our citizens, we will cut off our ties with you. The Zionists or the Israelis didn't have this in mind. I heard what the Israelis said at the beginning. At the beginning, they spoke in an arrogant way, and they said that those who participated in the Gaza Aid flotilla attacked our soldiers and struck our soldiers, and any hand which was raised to hurt our soldiers will be held accountable. So the Turkish leadership came out and responded and said, if you hold any of them accountable, if you try any of them, we will hold the Israeli leaders accountable. I know why they released them, because it's Turkey, because we have a strong country, we have a strong people. Strong people who are supporting their leadership. We also had a strong Turkish leadership. And this Turkish leadership was very wise in the way it used its advantages. For Israel, for Turkey to cut off its diplomatic ties with Israel, this is an earthquake for Israel, to cut off diplomatic ties with Turkey. This is very dangerous on the strategic level for Israel. And for this reason, in the Zionist entity, we're starting to hear this talk about the mistakes which were made. For Turkey to stand and cut off its economic, military and security ties with Israel, this is an advantage in Turkey's hands. In previous wars, in the war on Gaza, the last war on Gaza, in the war on Lebanon, in 1982, in the invasion of the West Bank and the Jenin massacre, in those periods, the Arab populations called on the Arab governments who have diplomatic ties with Israel, use these diplomatic ties as leverage, use them as a weapon. But these Arab governments didn't do so. Turkey did in this particular incident. It did not only call for the release of its citizens, it considered that the whole flotilla is Turkish responsibility, all of the participants. And so, all of them were released. The result was all of them were released, including those Lebanese who sit amongst you now. So the lesson is for those who speak about diplomacy. Diplomacy of humiliation, diplomacy of bowing down, diplomacy of weakness and of wishful thinking, of begging. Such diplomacy only brings about humiliation. and loss, but diplomacy, which is based upon strength, the strength of the people, the strength of the leadership, the strength of the country, the strength of the weapon, this diplomacy, which is based on strength, such a diplomacy can achieve a lot, can do a lot. So this is concerning the significance of what happened. Now I want to continue. Concerning the results, what occurred with the Gaza Aid Flotilla had a lot of repercussions throughout the world, and many results were achieved. And I remember, I want to recall and go through these results to say that what happened was effective. It brought about effective measures, and the blood of the martyrs accomplished a lot. And I'd like to say to all those who were wounded or injured who participated in the Gaza Aid Flotilla, to all of those people who participated, I'd like to tell them that what you did and what you accomplished did not go to waste. You achieved great results because of your presence and because of your blood and because of your perseverance and patience. So we're going to go through the results in order to speak about what we should do in the future. First of all, one of the most important accomplishments of the Gaza Aid Flotilla with the blood of the martyrs is that this Gaza Aid Flotilla put into focus once again, focused the attention once again on the brutal, inhumane siege which has imposed on Gaza for years. This siege, which the whole world forgot and which the Arabs forgot, is now the focus of attention. It wasn't mentioned before, even at the end of news bulletins it was not mentioned. But this blood and these throats and these arms were able to put this issue once again on the spotlight and on the agenda of all the governments of the world. And it made this siege the number one news in all media outlets, the number one issue on all people's minds throughout the world. Second of all, this gives a chance to speak about what we should do. But before that, the Gaza Aid Flotilla was able to impose on the world, for the first time we saw from the UN Secretary General, who was silent for a long time, for the first time we heard him call for lifting the siege immediately. We heard calls from European countries, from Russia, from countries who are part of the Middle East Quartet, who used to provide a cover for the siege on Gaza. Many countries in the world. We didn't hear such stances before the incident of the Gaza Aid Flotilla and the martyrs of this flotilla. The third point is one of the direct results is that the Egyptian government, and we thank it for this, the Egyptian government opened the Rafah border crossing without specifying a time for closing it. Regardless of the reasons behind this step, this is something good. This is a good step, and this is a good result for the Gaza Aid Flotilla. The fourth point is that what occurred brought about an appropriate atmosphere which facilitated Palestinian movement towards reconciliation and ending internal Palestinian divisions. The fifth point is that what occurred will complicate and will make it very difficult, to some extent, I don't want to overreact, it will make it very difficult for the Zionist enemy to think or to plan for a new military assault on Gaza. The military campaign on Lebanon, Syria, or Iran has different calculations. We were worried about Gaza, what could happen with Gaza, and there is no doubt that the sacrifices of a Gaza Aid Flotilla will complicate any decision to go to military war against Gaza or a military operation against Gaza. Another important point is that Israel once again has been covered to world public opinion, and also more vigilance from the Arab and Muslim people who are concerned first and foremost with this conflict in confronting this enemy. The eighth point is this has uncovered the American policies in the region, and it has uncovered those who rely on American policies in the region. The ninth point is this shows once again Israeli failure, Israeli confusion, and it shows incapability on the part of Israeli leadership. the Israeli political, security and military leadership. I'm not the one who says this. The Israelis today, if you read the Israeli newspapers, and if you hear what the Israeli people are saying, the language which is being used is the language of failure, the language of confusion, the language of a loss, the language of complete failure. This is what we hear from the Israelis themselves. We hear calls for forming an investigative committee today in Israel. They are counting the losses, the political and moral losses. And of course, what Israel did, what Israel committed, was stupid. Miscalculations, false calculations, bad behavior, which reflects Israel's real nature. Israel could simply have forced this Gaza Aid flotilla to return back or to go to the Ashdod coastline without performing this act of piracy and this massacre and crime and shedding this blood. Israel could have avoided that. What number have you reached? Number 9? Number 10 now. Is Israeli responsibility or Israel feeling a burden now? It's not me who's saying this. The head of the Israeli Mossad, the security branch, which is always in continuous contact with the outside and which can also evaluate the Israeli position vis-a-vis the outside world, he himself, the head of the Israeli Mossad, said that Israel is gradually becoming a burden on America, because after each failure and after each massacre, after each crime, America must come and protect and defend and help Israel, and it pays the price for this. America itself pays the price. This is what was said also by the head of the U.S. Central Command, General David Petraeus, when he said that we are paying the cost with the blood of our soldiers because of our support for Israel. Our support for Israel is costing us the blood of our soldiers. Of course, Israel is becoming a burden. After that, Petraeus changed what he said, because I think he was lectured. This is Israel after the incident. A leadership which cannot act, which doesn't know how to behave in the security arena, on the political arena, on all arenas. Look at what it did with this unarmed Gaza Aid flotilla, which didn't have any rockets or any weapons. So this is a very important result of what occurred. More confusion for the Israeli entity. Number 11 is the developments in the Turkish stance, and this is a very important result. Today the Turkish stance is different. Of course, the Turkish stance was there during the war against Lebanon in 2006, and during the war on Gaza also, we saw a more enhanced Turkish stance, but there is no doubt in this incident of a Gaza Aid flotilla, the Turkish stance has changed a lot and has become more and more enhanced within the orientation of pro-resistance. And we heard what the Turkish leaders said. The last remarks we heard were from the Turkish president, Abdullah Gül, who said that the relations with Israel will never go back to what they were before. And this is good progress and very important progress in the Turkish stance. And as I said before, one of the results now of the Gaza Aid flotilla is that Israel, I'm not going to say it lost Turkey, no, I don't want to overreact, but what I can say is that Israel has begun to lose Turkey. And this is a strategic transformation, a strategic change in the region. Israel used to have international regional relations in the region. Iran, during the reign or the leadership of the Shah, was a very important supporter and represented strategic depth for Israel. This strategic depth was lost. Israel lost it after the victory of the holy or the blessed Islamic revolution under the leadership of Imam Khomeini. And Iran became a country which totally supported and adopted the Palestinian cause, the central cause. What remained, the country which remained, was Turkey. The Gaza Aid flotilla, I can say, After this incident of the Gaza Aid Flotilla, Israel has begun to lose Turkey. Will it lose Turkey totally? This depends on the upcoming circumstances or developments. But one of the most important results is that Israel has begun to lose Turkey. The 12th point is another important result is the Kuwaiti stance. When the Kuwaiti parliament called and the Kuwaiti government also responded to this call positively and took the first step and decided to withdraw from the Arab Peace Initiative. Is there or are there any other Arab governments or parliaments which took such a step? Are there any other Arab governments who are ready to take such a step? In the name of you all, we would like to salute the Kuwaiti parliament and the Kuwaiti government for this great stance. Some used to say, what does it mean? What's the significance of withdrawing the Arab Peace Initiative? What's the value of taking such a step? No, it does have political value. It does have moral value. I don't want to begin with this issue with the Arabs, but the Arab Peace Initiative had many concessions to the Israeli enemy. It includes many concessions. When we say this peace initiative has been withdrawn, we are saying that all of the concessions which we gave to you in this initiative have ended and we're back to square one. This has high political and strategic value. And the last result, before I speak about what we should do in the future, is that what happened harms all those who call for a settlement and naturalizing ties and surrendering, and all those who depend on indirect or direct negotiations. It corners those people who rely on this, who walk on this path. Their situation is very difficult. On the 25th of May, I had to quote what the U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said. She was the one who said it, as you recall. What Israel is doing is not good for the Arab moderate countries. That's right. What Israel did with the Gaza Aid Flotilla as well, it harms the Arab moderate group. It puts them in a corner. It puts all those who call for normalizing ties in a corner. I read in some Persian Gulf newspapers yesterday, I don't want to speak about a specific country, but I read articles which said that the Gaza Aid Flotilla was an act of stupidity. And some articles even defended what the Israeli soldiers did. It is very rare that you find an Israeli newspaper defending what the Israeli soldiers did, but there are some articles in Persian Gulf newspapers which defended what the Israeli soldiers did. Arab newspapers. These newspapers held those who participated in the Gaza Aid Flotilla responsible. Anyway, these people represent a minority, a small minority, and the days and the righteousness and the honor and the developments and the waves of the honorable people will wipe this minority away, God willing. What we should do now, first of all, we must take advantage of the current chance we have. Today, we have an excellent chance to achieve our aim, the aim which the Gaza Aid Flotilla wanted to achieve, the aim which all the aid convoys to Gaza wanted to achieve. This aim or this goal is, of course, to lift the siege on our people in Gaza. This requires, as our colleague, our brother, Dr. Hani said, this requires more convoys being formed, more convoys heading to the Gaza Strip. A second, third, fourth, fifth aid convoy must head to the Gaza Strip. These convoys must include people from different citizenships. And this is why the Israeli policy failed, because Netanyahu said that he wanted to deter and to prevent anyone in the world from thinking again of taking a similar step and heading towards Gaza. So taking similar steps and more convoys give the Israelis a message that you haven't been able to achieve any of your aims by your terrorism, by your state terrorism, by your crime. Because Netanyahu himself said that the Israeli crime, or according to us it's a crime, was to prevent them from repeating. Of course, now in the Gaza aid convoy we had many Lebanese, a number of Lebanese. We have the head of the Lebanese delegation. I call for more Lebanese participation, diverse Lebanese participation in the Freedom Flotilla number 2. Today the European convoy announced that it opened the invitation for anyone who wants to join the flotilla number 2, and until now hundreds of requests have been made in Europe to join this flotilla. Where are the Arabs? Where are the Muslims? Where are the people of the Arab world, the people of the Islamic world? Now some might say that, where do you want to send us? Here are your brothers amongst you. Their heads are hung high. They went and came back. And those who will go again will come back. And Israel, as it calculates 100 times with Turkey, it also calculates for the yellow flag, just like it calculates for the red flag. Yellow flag, of course, is a flag of Hezbollah. Those who participate in, or who will participate in the aid flotilla number 2, the Lebanese, of course, know that they belong to a country and to a people and to a resistance which cannot leave their detainees in prison. Now, some might say, Sayyid Hassan wants to begin with a new problem. No, I don't. But we, as Lebanese, we want to be part of this humanitarian contribution, this humanitarian, ethical, national, faithful, religious contribution. We must not leave this responsibility only to those who come from behind the seas. Second of all, in this same perspective, we must call all of us, we must call and we must all do our utmost so that the Rafah border crossing must remain open. Of course, we must call on the Egyptian leadership. We must call on the Egyptian leadership to keep this border crossing open. And here, I would like to comment on the decisions which were made by the Arab foreign ministers. I'd like to say that the Arabs and the Arab foreign ministers and the Arab governments don't need to go to the Security Council to lift the siege on Gaza. No, they don't need to do this. They don't need the Security Council. Now here I want to be calm. Let's look at the problem. What's Egypt's problem with opening the border crossing? If there are international pressures, If there are international agreements, if there are certain issues, certain economic negative repercussions, let's come and be unified. Let's support each other. The countries of the Arab League, the countries of the Organization of the Islamic Conference, OIC, the countries of the Arab and Islamic world, let's stand together. Let's stand in support of the Egyptian leadership and the Egyptian government. And when the Arab governments and people and Islamic governments and people stand in support of the Egyptian government, nobody will be able to harm the Egyptian government and force the Egyptian government to close the Rafah border crossing. This is something practical. Let's meet in the Arab League and the OIC. Why don't you open the border crossing? Is there a difficult situation? Let's come and cooperate to keep this Rafah border crossing open. And we don't need anyone in the world. We don't need the Security Council, nor do we need the United Nations, nor do we need an American administration, nor do we need an EU. We don't need anyone. We, the Arabs, and we, the Muslims, we can lift the siege on Gaza in this way, which I just explained, in this calm way. The third point in this perspective, we must support the Turkish stance, which will be subject to a lot of pressures. Now look how the strong are respected. Obama had to lift the phone and speak to Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Tayyip Erdogan, Tayyip in Arabic means the good-hearted. If the killers belong to an Arab country, would Obama have called any of the Arab leaders? Now, anyway, there are great pressures which will be practiced on Turkey to overcome what happened in order for this stance against Israel not to develop, not to allow these Turkish-Israeli ties to deteriorate, not to allow Turkey to have a very important stance in the Arab and Islamic world when it comes to the Arab-Israeli conflict and the role of the resistance, in order to confront any possible pressures which Turkey could be subject to. Turkey needs all possible popular and official support in the Arab and Islamic world. So we stress on this point, supporting Turkey. Now, the fourth point in this perspective, the Gaza siege must remain the focus of attention, not just in the Islamic world, in the Arab world, but in the whole world in general. As Imam Khamenei said, the Palestinian cause must become an international cause, it must become a humanitarian cause. Before, previously, some people, when the Palestinian cause was the cause of the Islamic world, some used to say, no, this is the cause of the Arab world, no, not the cause of the Islamic world. Turkey, Iran, Pakistan, and the Muslims of India and Indonesia and Malaysia, they have nothing to do with it because it's an Arab cause. What's it got to do with them? The Persians and the Turks and the Afghans and the Hindus, they have nothing to do with it. So we came to the Arab world. Now, under the decision of independent Palestinian decision, they made it into a Palestinian cause. It's got nothing to do with the Arabs. The Palestinian cause then became the cause of the Gaza Strip and the East Jerusalem and the refugees. Imam Khamenei called for going back once again to the slogan of the Palestinian cause being a Palestinian cause and an Arab cause, an Islamic cause and a humanitarian cause on the international level, on the level of the world. When we hear the stances taken by the Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, who described Israel as an isolated country, a rude country, can we tell Chavez, what's it your business? When we find Nicaragua was withdrawing its ambassador and freezing its ties with Israel, can we tell Nicaragua, what's it got to do with you? This isn't an Arab cause. The Gaza aid flotilla opened the door once again to put the Palestinian cause under the international spotlight so it could become an international cause. And we must continue to work for this. The religious scholars, the internet people, the international media channels, the parliamentarians, all of them must take part in order to put Gaza and the Palestinian cause under international spotlight. The fifth point in this perspective, we must continue to call for international investigation. Although we know that the international investigation will not reach the results, but just to corner Israel, and Israel will refuse any international investigation, although it committed its massacre in international waters, and although it committed this piracy clearly, without any cover, it will refuse. The sixth point is we must file a lawsuit against the Israeli politicians, the Israeli security personnel, the Israeli soldiers. We can file a lawsuit anywhere possible in the world. We should file a lawsuit against them because of what they did in the Gaza aid flotilla, and then from there we could go to open other crimes by the Israelis. We in Hezbollah, we haven't done this before, yes. We were killed, of course, in Qana. We were subject to massacres. Our houses were demolished in Palestine and Lebanon, wherever they could. We should file lawsuits on all of this. Now, we must begin, first of all, with the Gaza aid flotilla and then resort to others. Of course, the Israelis might say they will file lawsuits against us, and they might impose sanctions against us. What are they going to do? Take our money from European banks? But there is no doubt that filing lawsuits against the Israeli crime further isolates and further corners the Israeli leaders in the rest of the world. The seventh point within this perspective is that we must all, in all the capabilities which we have, we must all remind and enlighten the people of the world of the true nature of Israel, the nature of a country which lies about its behavior. Israel presented itself as a beacon of democracy in the Middle East, as the only country which commits to the law and to international norms in the midst of a brutal region, in Israeli language, of course. So we must take advantage of the Gaza Aid flotilla to enlighten the people of all of Israel's massacres, from the Deir Yassin massacre and the Hawla massacre in 1948, to the first Qana massacre, to the Jenin massacre, to the second Qana massacre, to what happened in the Gaza Strip. Every massacre which is committed by Israel should, of course, lead us to speak to the people of the world, to the freedom-loving people of the world, to the honorable people of the world. This should lead us to tell the Israeli people, this is Israel whom your governments defend. This is Israel who says it's a beacon of democracy. And finally, we must continue to be strong. We must continue to be capable. We must continue to be confident. We must continue to be confident in our decisions and in our stance. We must continue to gain friends and to preserve our friends, to keep friends. Imam Khomeini made Iran an enemy for the Arabs to a friend and to an ally for the Arabs. So how can we maintain this friendship with Iran? Today, the political party of Recep Tayyip Erdogan and the Turkish people are bringing Turkey back to the Ummah. How do we preserve this Turkish friendship and this new Turkish stance? How do we not invent enemies here or there, as some Arabs do? We must work to be strong, because this world, as I said on the 25th of May, does not respect anyone who is not strong. We must do our utmost. We have the right, we have righteousness on our side. Righteousness gives us strength, and we must have strength as well, which gives us strength, because the world does not respect anyone who is not strong. My dear brothers and sisters, the best way to honor the memory of the martyrs of the Gaza Aid flotilla is to hold on to our principles and to our causes, and to hold on to our cause and to continue to walk on the path, which is resistance, the resistance in Lebanon, the resistance in Palestine, and the resistance in our Ummah, throughout our Ummah. This is the future which we create by our own hands, without anyone helping us. And we do not call for help from anyone in the world. My dear brothers and sisters, with the presence of these people who participated in the Gaza Aid flotilla, with your presence, with your honor, with your courage, with the steps you took, with your sacrifices, with your dedication, the Gaza Aid flotilla will not stop on one day and or one on one border. The Gaza Aid flotillas will continue until freedom is achieved for Gaza, and freedom is achieved for all of Palestine, and for Jerusalem Al-Quds, and for the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and for the Church of Nativity, and freedom for all of the Ummah. Freedom from the American Israeli project. With the strength of resistance fighters, with the will of the Mujahideen, with the blood of the martyrs, we can achieve this, God willing. God bless you. I thank you for your presence once again, and together we will continue to walk on the path of liberation and dignity, to bring about honor for our people and from our world, for our world and our sanctities. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.